Ryan, have you ever seen the movie Draft Day?
I'm a huge fan. I love a draft where one team can trade up three times and then down four times and then back up twice more. I love that.
I'm sorry. Did you say you're a huge fan of this movie? Because I've definitely never seen it. I was just putting you on the spot.
Oh, no, I do. I like it. It's wildly amusing. The team, Kevin Costner makes 300 trades in 2 hours. It's great.
I want my picks back, all of them. I want all 3 years of this team's future back.
That's not fair.
Well, you want to cry about it, Tom, or you want to make a little magic before the clock runs out on both of us?
I went to college in Ohio, so I know a bunch of guys from Cleveland, and they like went to see this movie the night it came out because they're Browns fans, which is amazing to me.
That is amusing.
I'll put you on the spot yet again. Can you spell irrelevant in less than 10 seconds?
Yeah, let's do it's P-U-R-D-Y.
Ha ha! Well played.
I-R-R-E-L-E-V-A-N-T, but I always switch a couple of E's and the A's.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. It's actually a hard word to type if you're really trying to do it frequently.
It's an irrelevant word. It is an irrelevant word. That's why it's not used more.
The 262nd pick of the 2022 NFL Draft, Brock Purdy accepted the title of Mr. Irrelevant as he entered the league for the San Francisco 49ers. Being picked last, most people didn't expect much from Purdy. But in just two seasons, he's already gone 17-4 as a starter with 44 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. He's had one Pro Bowl appearance and, of course, his first Super Bowl earlier this year. Purdy has carried on the legacy of Mr. Irrelevant, letting the world know to never underestimate what the last guy picked can do. With the NFL draft continuing all weekend, culminating Saturday night with the last pick, ESPN writer Ryan Hockensmith joins us today to explore Purdy's relationship to the title Mr. Irrelevant and tell us how and who turned the final pick of the draft into an event in itself. I'm Clinton Yates. It's Friday, April 26th. This is ESPN Daily.
Ryan Hockensmith, welcome back, man. We are in the midst of the 2024 NFL Draft, but we're not here to talk about top picks. Quite the opposite, in fact. We're here to talk about the last man selected. Some may call him Mr. Irrelevant. You recently wrote a story about Brock Purdy, the 2022 version of said title. Talk to me about what that draft day was like for Mr. Purdy.
Well, he started getting worried that he wasn't going to get picked as the draft got later and later and later. But his mom really wanted to like celebrate this moment for him. So he said, "Mom, whatever you do, no parties. I just want to watch the draft. I just hope I get picked. So don't invite anybody over." And then he went to Chick-fil-A with his brother in the middle of the seventh round and came back. He was getting all these phone calls from teams that were said they were interested, but then they didn't end up picking him. So he was kind of thinking, "Oh, I'm going to be an undrafted free agent." But when he got back from Chick-fil-A, he saw that his mom was not holding up her end of the deal because there was a couple more friends and family members at the house. There was some cake, there was some balloons, and there was a party that was about to happen if he got drafted.
So the whole day, Brock's like, "Are you sure nobody's coming?" And I go, "Nobody's coming. If your name doesn't get picked, there is no, I'll pop the balloons. I'll throw the cake in the trash. Don't worry."
And he was kind of agitated with her, although he's not an agitatable guy, you know? So he kept getting these calls and his agent kept saying, "I think it's going to be free agency. I think it's going to be undrafted free agency," over and over again. And then they turn on the TV and they're sitting there. There was somebody made a joke like, "Hey, I wonder if you're picked last, you'll be Mr. Irrelevant." And everybody kind of had a good chuckle, because the chances of being a specific pick in the draft are slim to none, you know? And so they were kind of laughing about that. And then they put on the TV, and sure enough, with the 262 pick, the 49ers selected
Brock Purdy. Came across the bottom of the screen before the announcement. So we saw Brock Purdy, and then the place went in an uproar.
The 47th Mr. Irrelevant, Mr. Irrelevant 2022, with the 262nd pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Brock Purdy, a quarterback from Iowa State. Go Niners!
Within 20 to 30 minutes, I am not kidding you, I had 100 people at our house.
I gotta say, the idea of draft parties in general is always so fascinating to me. And to think that Brock Purdy's mom making changes at the line during the actual draft is an incredible, incredible thing overall. But Purdy always knew he was underrated as a quarterback. What was going through his head throughout the course of that day?
Well, he has been underrated. He was like not a big recruit. He was like, he had to fight to start as a little kid. Even as like an 8, 9, 10 year old playing football. And then he had to fight off somebody to win the starting high school job and so on. So this was sort of the story. He's been Mr. Irrelevant his whole life, you know, so this was nothing new. But he really did think he'd had a great college career at Iowa State, set some records.
Now, we all know the kid's got great talent. So he was due for a breakout game at some point. But some point turned into a lot of points and a record-setting afternoon. And Brock Purdy becomes the first ISU player with more than 500 yards in a single game. 6 total touchdowns for him, and it all adds up to a 72-20 blowout. That's video game numbers.
And, you know, he was a very steady, solid player. Not huge, not a huge arm, not very fast, not even like a huge personality that you'd be like, well, he's got some dog in him, let's pick him. So he was just sort of, you know, an underrated guy going into the draft. And, you know, he just really was hoping that he was a final day pick. He was hoping for 5th, 6th, 7th round. And then when it was looking bad for the 7th round, even when he came back from that Chick-fil-A, he was starting to take calls and trying to think which team that might be interested in me could I pick that would be the best fit for me. But he was really sort of settled into the idea of like, I'm going to have to fight for this thing really hard all over again.
Being the last pick, you know, there's a chip, you know, on my shoulder from that moment on. And really my whole life, you know, my story, you know, being recruited late in high school, being the last one to sign in my class to college. And so I've always had to go out and prove myself. And so I've always known that. And honestly, just added more fuel to the fire. I wasn't going to be that kind of guy who just caves in and throws the towel in and, you know, listen to people saying I'm not going to make it. Like, I've always believed in myself.
Do you think that after all he's done, couple championship games, this year gets to a Super Bowl, do you think that Purdy specifically is ever going to be able to lose this label as a quarterback in the NFL?
I mean, I think so. He's won so much. It's like, and there's certain power to being the forgotten guy, the underrated guy. We'll get into it. Like, part of the irrelevant thing, the reason that this thing, the last pick of the draft has become a thing is because I think deep down in our hearts, we really like when people who are picked last in gym class are elected president. You know, we like that. We have this like urge to see that happen. And so he's a guy who keeps breaking through. Like, there guys that get picked where he does, they shouldn't get huge contracts and be in the Pro Bowl and be in the Super Bowl. And he's doing it.
Pretty not just steadying the ship, but thriving. On second and goal here, he fakes, he looks, he's in trouble, but keeps it alive and finds Mitchell. Improvisation leads to a touchdown.
So I do think that there's some wind at his back, just because in deep down in our hearts, we like Rudy, we like underdogs, and he's that guy. There's like not a bigger underdog in sports right now than Brock Purdy. And I think that makes people want to cheer for him. And I think that makes him like kind of break through as a athlete. That, you know, he sells pretty good numbers of jerseys and people, you know, people like to see him play. And I think that will help him break through.
In your personal elementary school career, were you like a mid-round draft pick on the playground? Where were you?
Listen, I was a pretty good draft pick, I gotta say. These days, no, I'm undrafted free agent.
Coming up, the origin story of Mr. Irrelevant. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. All right, Ryan, where does the title Mr. Irrelevant come from as an origin story?
Well, it started 50 years ago with a player, former NFL player named Paul Salata. Paul Salata was a very good athlete. He played football and baseball at USC. The 49ers drafted him in the 10th round of the 1949 draft. And he had a nice football career. He stuck around playing professional football, bouncing around from leagues and teams for about 5 years. But he was a character. There were no brand managers back then telling you, don't say that, don't say this. Hide your, you know, you won't get an endorsement deal if you're outspoken about this or that. He was a goofball and he leaned into it. And so he became one of those old school football characters who was just really popular with other football people. And so he lived in California, and so did the eventual commissioner, Pete Rozelle. So he became friends with Pete Rozelle. And so he was just kind of on the periphery of the NFL for a long, long time. And Salata was an underdog. He was this guy drafted very late. He was a Serbian immigrant who made good and became a good athlete and then started his own construction company. And so he was a scrappy underdog. And he went to Pete Rozelle. Pete Rozelle thought Salata was a hilarious person. And Salata came to him with this idea that what if we celebrated the last pick of the draft? And at the time, the NFL draft was nothing like it is now. I mean, this was just like this. When you see the old footage of people, there was no war rooms with cameras in them and stuff.
The 35th annual National Football League selection meeting is now in session. First choice, first round, Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers select Terry Bradshaw, quarterback.
Nobody really cared, you know? And so Pete Rozelle was like, sure, that sounds fun. It'll drum up some publicity, maybe. Paul, go for it. And so he did.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, the 70s were a long time ago, not just sort of in average American years, but in football years. That might as well have been the Stone Ages. The idea of somebody marketing themselves based on a position, I mean, that was pretty groundbreaking, no?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I had forgotten that the draft used to be like 500 players. Now it's 250, 260 players. I mean, they were taking guys people didn't even, you know, other teams hadn't even heard of. You know, there were some stories about that. There would be a guy drafted and teams would look around the room and be like, who's Mike Wilson? I've never heard of that name. And so it was a completely different era where, you know, honestly, like if I'm just being judgy, it was a lot more fun. You know, it was not this big business. Every pick is sponsored and going to the ad breaks and blah. It was like a very blue collar, like fun thing, you know, and the business of the NFL, it was not big business yet. So when somebody said, let's throw a party for the absolute last player, I mean, it just is. It would be unheard of now for the NFL to sign off. It's too fun. They wouldn't do it.
At the time, though, did people even get the bit? Calling somebody Mr. Irrelevant seems pretty offensive on the surface. But back then, how did people even take this attempted humor?
So I think people are still confused. I still have my heart like, wait, why are we calling him Mr. Irrelevant? That's like really like kind of a dig at the guy. But the bit was, I mean, in the story, I said it's like calling that giant bouncer at the bar that everybody likes, calling him tiny. You know, it's like it's sort of a counterintuitive description of this player. What Paul Salata was trying to say was that it was irrelevant where the guy had been picked. The guy himself is not irrelevant. It's the idea that you're picked last, so therefore you're doomed. He wanted to flip that on its head. So he called it a slightly confusing Mr. Irrelevant. His quote was, it's irrelevant that you're drafted last. I want to show that the last guy is special too.
Pretty existential. I like that. How did this rollout like actually go in terms of what they did though?
Well, it was the first Mr. Irrelevant was a perfect window into how this was kind of a very fun, not sloppy, but just not buttoned up and purposely not buttoned up. It's still not buttoned up. It's a well-run thing, but they don't ever want this thing to be a corporate retreat. You know, this is like a fun thing. And Paul Salata was the spirit of it. He is not the efficient planner type. So he turned that over to his daughter, Melanie, who was in her early 20s. She's a logistical guru. But the whole thing was supposed to be a little off the rails. It was supposed to be this giant party sort of constructed to model Paul Salata himself, which was this fun, goofy, long shot guy. And so they built this week of celebration as this fun party at the beach, you know, and they went to Disneyland. They had these wild night tours going to bars and restaurants, and they had a big celebration dinner at the end of the week. I mean, it was basically a roast of this football player trying to make his way in the NFL. And so the year one was the perfect one. The first official year of Mr. Irrelevant was 1976. And the last pick that year was a guy named Kelvin Kirk. And so Kelvin Kirk missed his flight. And we didn't all have cell phones in 1976, contrary to what the kids think. So you actually, it was like kind of hard to get a hold of people. And so he missed his flight. He didn't check in. They didn't know he had missed the flight. So they're unveiling this big thing, and they have all this big press conference to welcome the first Mr. Irrelevant, Kelvin Kirk. And all this media shows up, and Melanie's at the airport like, where is this guy? And eventually she goes back and talks to her dad. Her dad's like, yeah, he just called. He missed his flight. He's going to be 3 hours late. But it was going to put him right up against the start of this press conference. And so they were like, what are we going to do? And so Paul Salata did what Paul Salata does, which is like a total curveball solution. He was like, I know a guy that works as a butcher in our neighborhood here. He looks a lot like Kelvin Kirk. I'll have him stand in at the press conference while you get the actual Mr. Irrelevant. So she goes and she gets Kelvin Kirk, and it's going to be close, but she does not make it back in time for the press conference. So the press conference starts with a butcher up there pretending to be the last pick of the NFL draft. And he answered a bunch of questions. He answered in the most vague way possible. And then like 10, 15, 20 minutes into the press conference, Paul Salata gets up and says, all right, say goodbye to this guy. Here's the actual Kelvin Kirk. And the whole crowd laughed. They thought it was just part of the festivities, just part of the fun. And of all the ways for this thing to kick off, it was the perfect way for the beginning of Mr. Irrelevant.
I hate to use old references, but we're talking about old things. This is like the Naked Gun meets WWE. Like, that's a completely ridiculous scenario that I want to be a part of. And speaking of things I want to be a part of, are we still doing this? What's the procedure now for Mr. Irrelevant? How do they celebrate this human now that we've reached 2024 and everything is a full-blown, you know, social media and marketing machine?
It is. You know, it's a little bit more restrained. It's a well-run event. And it hasn't really lost its charm. It's still very fun and goofy. And, you know, Melanie announces the picks herself now on the draft.
To make the final selection of the 2022 NFL Draft, please welcome Melanie Salata Fitch of Irrelevant Week.
Keeping the irrelevant tradition going, I'm here with my daughter, Alex, third generation of irrelevance. And we've saved the best till last.
So they've leaned into it and polished it up a little bit, but they purposely do not ever want this thing to be a professional juggernaut. They want it to have a little bit of the rough edges that Paul Salata had, because it only exists because of him. So they want it to live in his image forever. And they've done a really good job of making sure that it's not, you know, sponsored by AT&T or whatever and all polished up and professional. It's still a pretty goofy operation.
Mr. Irrelevant was created as an idea to embrace the fact that no matter where you're picked in the NFL, you're still picked by the NFL, which when you think about how serious NFL teams are about all of their draft picks these days, leads to the question, has it actually changed draft strategy in terms of who that person might be if you're a team in that position?
Yeah, so it has. Mr. Irrelevant became a thing pretty quickly. Just within a few years, there was so much attention paid to this idea of like, wow, it's so wild to celebrate the last pick of the NFL draft. So it got a lot of media attention and it was good publicity for teams. And again, I can't emphasize enough, There was no Mel Kiper at this point. This thing was like a really small scale, no fans cheering. It was not 3 days. The draft was a very, very small thing. And so any publicity was good publicity, especially for the last pick of a draft. So people loved the publicity that came and the notoriety that came with it. So within 3 years, Pete Rozelle ended up in this incredible predicament where teams had noticed that the last pick of the draft generated all kinds of publicity and it was good for business. And so in 1979, as the draft wound down, Pete Rozelle was in this unbelievable situation where the Rams had the next to last pick and they passed. They let the clock run out and they passed to the Steelers because the Rams wanted to have the last pick. And the Steelers said, hey, we want the last pick. So they passed also. And all of a sudden, you have these two teams duking it out by not picking a player. And Pete Rozelle had to jump in and say, you're picking where you're supposed to pick. So the Rams had to pick, and then the Steelers picked last, which is how it was supposed to go. And so Pete Rozelle started calling it the Salada rule, and it forbid the second-to-last team to pass, you know? And so it cracked me up when I found out about the Salada rule because I looked up, oh, I wonder who has the last pick this year? And the Jets have the last two picks. So I don't know. They could totally do something very Jetsy and like run out the clock accidentally, but they are making the last pick no matter what.
I was just going to say, fun fact, you don't have to be picked last to be Mr. Irrelevant when you play for the Jets, but that's another discussion. Yeah. Let me ask you though, out of all of these Mr.'s Irrelevant, like attorneys general, which one of them went on to actually have pretty good careers outside of Purdy?
Quite a few, actually. In the early days, not so much. When the draft went down to seven rounds in 1994, that's when we saw picks in the 220s, 230s, 240s, that kind of number. And in 1994, a guy named Marty Moore was selected number 222 to the Patriots. It was the last pick of the draft. And he was a good player, good linebacker, led the SEC in tackles, I think, in his couple of his years at Kentucky. So he was a solid player, not super impressive at scouting combine, but just a tough linebacker. And so he got picked last and he was Mr. Irrelevant and he didn't know what it even was. So they flew him out and they have this party for him. He went fishing. He had a good old time. And then they had the celebration dinner and everyone made fun of him. Everyone, it's sort of a tradition of this, of the final hurrah at this Irrelevant week where they just kind of talk about how this guy's going to be you're going to be driving a garbage truck in a couple of months. You know, don't get too comfortable playing in the NFL. And, you know, most guys laugh about it, but he burned out on it. He got really mad and he was like, I'm going to show these people, you know? And so he left there and he ended up playing 8 years in the NFL. He was the first Mr. Irrelevant to play in a Super Bowl. That was 1996. And then the first one to win a Super Bowl in 2001.
I feel very fortunate to be able to, you know, stand here and say, you know, hey, I was the last guy drafted, but I did, you know, go to two Super Bowls and, you know, had a great career and, you know, accomplished everything that I dreamed about accomplishing.
What's Salada's legacy like at this point in terms of this whole thing?
Well, he died in 2021, had a great life, and he put his daughter, Melanie, in charge. And it was like really a bonding thing for them and kind of a beautiful father-daughter dynamic.
I was always very close to my dad. His vision was, you know, basically that all players drafted should be treated equally. It's such an honor to be drafted. It's irrelevant that you're drafted last. And so he wanted to do something that would show that the last guy is as special as the first guy.
It was his baby, and then it became her thing. And so she runs it now, and her two daughters actually are her key helpers.
We love to help people. That's like something our family really prides itself on, and we really work so hard to make people feel loved and appreciated. And I'm not sure if we're gonna, you know, be the head of it someday or what, but I love being a part of it every single year because it just fills me with that joy and that kind of, you know, desire to give back to the communities.
And so it's really, it's a staple, it's an institution for the NFL at this point.
Oh, That's adorable. I love it. Coming up, the golden age of irrelevant relevance. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you people wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first one or for your fashionista mom who likes to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate with them both. You can shop by price anywhere from $25 and under to, say, $100 and below. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, or even pre-wrapped gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So, what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Ryan, I do want to point to something you wrote specifically in your story. You said that this is the golden age of irrelevant relevance. What exactly did you mean by that, sir?
Well, Brock Purdy's the obvious one, but going back the last 15 years, the last pick of the draft has been oddly successful, really out of whack with the actual position within the draft. It started Ryan Succop was a great player in the 2008 draft, and now up through Brock Purdy. I think the last 5 years, the final pick of the draft has made the team and played in games for all five of those teams. And so we crunched some numbers and found that it's really a much more valuable pick than the number that it is. It's actually probably something like 30 spots higher in the draft. That's how valuable this last pick is.
Hold up. Does that say more about the draft system or the front offices in the NFL?
It's totally perplexing. I went down a rabbit hole where I was sort of spending some time thinking about the value of name recognition and the idea, and also this theory that there's been some studies that show if your last name is Baker, you inordinately have a higher chance of becoming a Baker and that kind of thing. And so I don't know. There's no real answer to why that might be, but I do think the fact that it is a well-known, very much cheered on by fans position, that it automatically anoints the Mr. Irrelevant as this guy everybody's cheering for. And so in those cut down rooms that we see on Hard Knocks sometimes, where it's a coin flip between five guys, I think there might be something to the idea of like, well, everybody loves Mr. Irrelevant. He signs autographs all day. Everybody yells his name after practice. I think there's something to that, or it's just lucky they got a bunch of really good players that ended up in the last pick of the draft.
Well, I can tell you, as a person with the last name Yates, I walked last in my high school graduation and the crowd went nuts because they were cheering for the grade. But that didn't matter to me because I was the one on stage. And that was awesome.
Yes.
The reason I bring that up is because I want to know, how has this affected Brock Purdy specifically as a dude having that title in terms of his career in the NFL?
It definitely launched him as a well-known guy. And the fact that he's a quarterback, it is different with quarterbacks and skill position guys. I think The difference between a defensive tackle who's the last pick and a quarterback, I just think we care more about quarterbacks. So that tag of being Mr. Irrelevant, I wrote in the story, and I don't think I'm being hyperbolic, I think it's the most celebrated underdog in sports. There's almost nothing else like it, where we actually have a person that is like very formally named the least likely to succeed guy. And we give him a jersey and we call him it. And I do think it immediately puts a wind at your back And I think that's been the case with Purdy. I mean, he came into a very crowded quarterback room and just kind of hung around and hung around. And voila, we got a guy who's playing in the Super Bowl. The idea that a couple years ago that he would be like a franchise quarterback heading towards a big contract, getting MVP votes. I mean, it's almost incomprehensible to everybody but Brock Purdy.
I love it because all of these NFL people who think that they're the biggest brain breakers in the world with all their analysis and film grinding and all this other stuff, they didn't have any answer for why Brock Purdy was good. I love this about this whole story. It makes everybody who claims to be the best analyst in the world look like, you know, just an average person. But the reason why that's important is because if Mr. Irrelevant is leading people to Super Bowls, clearly the standard has changed well beyond just being a high-value last-round pick. This is different in a way that might affect a lot more teams than just the Niners, no?
Yeah, for sure. I don't know what we're going to do about quarterbacks because it's like we have another great quarterback draft, allegedly. And then you're just like the 10th guy on Mel Kiper's board. It's just like, oh, I wonder if he's Brock Purdy. It really shines a lot of hope on players that don't get picked first or even like the first 2 days of the draft. So the Purdy effect is going to be a real thing, I think.
My NFL draft story, speaking of Mr. Irrelevant, I went to the one in Nashville where a gazillion people showed up. And if you've ever been to downtown Nashville when every single thing is going crazy, you know they have those people that ride around in the party buses. Well, I saw one guy, let's just say he had a reversal of fortune outside of the bus and the bus driver threw him off. And to that point, he became Mr. Irrelevant. Thank you, Ryan.
Nice. Thank you so much for having me, Clinton.
I'm Clinton Yates. This has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by
Bruce Baldwin,
Ashley Brown,
Bradford Craig,
Alexander Hyacin,
Ryan Nantel,
Mike Philbrick,
and Phoebe Untermann.
Special thanks to Andrew Hahn. We'll talk to you Monday, kiddos.